Have you ever walked away from a conversation thinking, that didn't go as planned? You're not alone. In today's workplace, we face a universal paradox: how to be straightforward without being brutal and courteous without being manipulative. This communication gap costs companies an estimated $62.4 million annually and leaves relationships damaged in its wake. The solution isn't complex psychology or manipulative tactics, it's the radical simplicity of combining directness with courtesy. When asked how they prefer others to speak to them, people worldwide consistently want content that's clear and direct, delivered in a manner that's respectful and occasionally humorous. Yet despite knowing exactly what we want, most of us struggle to provide this same communication to others. We've been conditioned to believe we must choose between direct speech that risks brutality or politeness that fails to communicate. This is a false dilemma. True respect requires straightforwardness. When we withhold thoughts or dance around issues, we're being evasive, not respectful, and evasiveness breeds distrust. Workplace issues often escalate because managers avoid giving direct feedback, while personal relationships suffer when partners hint at problems rather than addressing them openly. Directness and politeness aren't opposing forces, but complementary tools, one conveying content, the other managing relationships. Successful communicators use specific techniques: I statements to own their opinions, acknowledging others' perspectives before presenting their own, and choosing words that are precise without being harsh. Most meetings begin without revealing true intentions, leaving participants wondering, what does this person actually want from me? The problem stems from confusing means and ends. People typically announce the means, I'd like us to get to know each other, rather than their desired outcome. I want to determine if we could work well together. Effective meetings require concrete, measurable objectives announced up front. Objectives of influence, what I want from that person, and objectives of production, what I want from the meeting. Even informational meetings have purposes beyond mere information transfer. Starting with clear objectives creates a foundation for productive conversation that respects everyone's time and intelligence. When addressing a problematic situation like a micromanaging boss, avoid vague openings. Instead, use this three-part structure. 1. Your state of mind. Acknowledge your emotions about the conversation. 2. Your preparation. Mention what you've done to prepare. 3. Your objective. Clearly state what you want to achieve. For example, Jack, I'm uncomfortable having this conversation because I value our working relationship. I've thought carefully about our interactions over the past 3 months, identifying specific situations where I felt frustrated. My objective is to define a new way of working together that works for both of us. This approach addresses both emotional and practical dimensions. Acknowledging discomfort diffuses tension. Mentioning preparation shows this isn't impulsive, and stating a concrete objective focuses on solutions rather than blame. In meetings, 3 phenomena impair productivity. 1. Things that remain unsaid, withheld thoughts that would benefit the discussion. 2. Things that are said negligently, imprecise language creating confusion, like soon or ASAP. 3. Ineffective listening, failing to truly hear others, often by interrupting or mentally preparing responses. Even when you leave harsh thoughts unsaid, they often leak through your tone, facial expressions, and body language as micro-expressions. Listening is deceptively difficult. Most active listening advice focuses on appearing to listen rather than truly listening. Paraphrasing only proves you heard words, not that you processed information meaningfully. For more effective listening, take notes differently. Capture what the person actually says in their order, using their words. Focus especially on their first words, as order and specific language reveal their thought process. Note-taking provides richer material for responses and gives you time to think when they finish speaking. Beyond listening to others, listen to yourself. Notice your reactions to their words, tone, and facial expressions. When responding in meetings, your words must be consistent with what's actually happening in your head after listening. Consider a client saying, "It's interesting, but I think this is over-engineered." Instead of ineffective responses like "why?" or immediately defending your work, use one of these three productive paths. 1. Him, her, finding out what's in the other person's head. What leads you to say it's over-engineered? What exactly do you mean by "at first glance"? 2. Me, sharing what's in your head. Hearing over-engineered, I tell myself there might be room for adjustment. When you mention officially our budgets are frozen, I wonder if there's unofficial flexibility. 3. Us, finding solutions together. What do we need to do to make this work for you? If I simplify the design, what will you do? These paths work because they bring clarity to the conversation rather than making assumptions. A crucial principle: the other person has the solution. Rather than proposing your ideas first, ask directly what they recommend. Speaking from I rather than you or it ensures consistency with your thoughts while maintaining firmness. For example, instead of "this proposal won't work," try "I have concerns about how this proposal addresses our challenges." Avoid irony, rhetorical questions, and truisms. These devices implicitly question others' intelligence by saying one thing but meaning another. By aligning your thoughts and words, focusing energy on goals while building trust, and respecting others regardless of hierarchy, this approach creates more satisfying and productive connections in all areas of life. In a world where communication often feels like choosing between honesty and kindness, the most powerful connections happen when we refuse that false choice, when we speak our truth with both clarity and care. While conceptually simple, this approach requires replacing lifelong reflexes with new ones. Like sports or music, it demands practice and repetition. This isn't a technique to use on others, but a discipline you apply to yourself. It rejects manipulation techniques that target the unconscious mind as both ineffective long-term and ethically questionable. Talking lean, being both candid and courteous in every situation, applies to all human interactions. This means eliminating unnecessary preambles, avoiding passive-aggressive behavior, and expressing thoughts directly while maintaining respect. Instead of saying, "Maybe we could possibly think about meeting next week," simply state, "I'd like to meet next week. Would Tuesday work for you?" This discipline requires vigilance against our tendency toward evasiveness in difficult conversations. It demands we recognize when we're withholding thoughts that would benefit the conversation. Most importantly, it asks us to maintain consistent communication standards regardless of power dynamics. Speaking with the same directness and courtesy to everyone, from CEOs to interns.